In order to best serve your community, you must be the source of information. But where you get your information from is very important. Today's episode, I get to interview the founder and CEO of one of my favorite publications where I go to get my industry news. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to the Loan Officer Podcast with me, Dustin Owen, and a very special guest, recording live in person but on location, Scottsdale, Arizona. We are at Housing Wire's top event of the year, The Gathering. I have with me the founder and the CEO of Housing Wire, Clayton Collins. Clayton, welcome to the Loan Officer Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I like the 18 plus intro. Does that mean we go unfiltered here?
We do not edit.
Okay,
nope.
Good.
And we are unfiltered. You know, we try to keep it business professional, yep. But you and I are both in sales. We're in housing. We're in real estate. We're in mortgage. And occasionally an F-bomb will slide out, and if it does, it does.
So our real estate agent and loan originator audience who may be listening with children in the car as they shuttle around, let's go listen to Housing Wire Daily. Sarah keeps it a little more PC. No, I'm just kidding.
Housing Wire Daily. I actually listen to Housing Wire Daily. I get called up typically on Saturday mornings when I'm doing my long bike rides.
Yeah.
Is when I will go and peruse through the Housing Wire Dailies and get called in. So y'all should be checking out Housing Wire's podcast, which is daily. That's where CF Sarah Wheeler, you have Logan Motoshami. It's really well done. But yes, on this particular episode, if, you know, shit, damn, or the F-bomb slides out, we tend to not edit it out. And I do have fans of the show who will tell me, hey, Dio, you know, I can't listen when the kids are in the car, but they love it. And our episodes, our content, whether it's on YouTube or whether, you know, Spotify, Apple, et cetera, our content, we would like to believe, is the ish they don't teach us in school. So it's more like business, sales, marketing advice. It's financial literacy. It's just taught from a loan officer's perspective. And then, yes, along the way, we give great content for realtors, their clients,
yep.
loan officers, their borrowers, et cetera.
Awesome. Well, let's do it. Happy to tackle any topic you would like today, Dustin.
Well, so this is what intrigues me about having you on, Clayton. And I appreciate you taking the time because, like, this is your event. You are the man. By the way, if you're not at The Gathering, you missed out, FYI. Good news is they're going to do it again next year. Not in Scottsdale, though. We're going to go to Colorado Springs, right?
Yeah, bring it to the Broadmoor. And it's going to be June 2025. So The Gathering is our tentpole event. It's our big annual event. This is actually the first year we've hosted The Gathering in this format. We merged our two prior events. So we had The Gathering of Eagles, which has been going on for 30 plus years, hosted by Real Trends, and Housing Wire Annual, which we launched during COVID. So a pretty early event. But bringing our mortgage and real estate audiences together in one location to learn together, to network, hopefully do business and have a good time. And it's been, for a first year event with this strategy, I think it's been absolutely phenomenal to see the engagement of some of our guests and speakers and sponsors and media partners, like, coming together to learn and engage and hopefully leave with some, not only some ideas, but also some relationships that fuel business and commercial opportunities. We're all business people.
We
love to have fun and we love to engage and learn, but ultimately we're trying to do business and build revenue and grow. And we really wear that commercial lens as we bring this specific group together for The Gathering.
Yep. So if you missed it, mark your calendars, June 2025, Colorado Springs. Follow Housing Wire. And obviously, as we get closer to next year, more details to follow. So here's what I want to jump into. And it's probably knowing me threefold with multiple rabbit holes. And I know we don't have time for all of it. So maybe this will be a part one and we'll have to find a way to do a part two later next year, the year after. I'm very curious. You are the founder and owner of Housing Wire, but you've only owned the publication for 8 years.
Yeah, so I'll give you, like, so to get the, like, the titles exactly right. I'm the founder and CEO of HW Media.
Of HW Media.
I started HW Media with the sole intent of acquiring Housing Wire.
No way.
The founders of Housing Wire, two gentlemen, Paul and Richard, want to give them credit for starting the publication back in the financial crisis. So Paul was blogging about some upcoming credit defaults, and he had a certain glimpse into what was coming in the housing market. Started building an audience early in 2006, 2007, as a blogger. Met his business partner and turned it into a media publication. And they ran hard, built a great great business and platform in the first 8 years of Housing Wire's lifespan. But in 2015, I had the chance to meet these two gentlemen. We negotiated a deal for me to acquire the business, and I started HW Media to be the parent organization to acquire Housing Wire.
Mic drop moment. That's phenomenal.
It's been a really cool path, and we're nowhere close to done. So, like, we have a vision at Housing Wire of being the full picture for housing professionals. And for us, that means mortgage originators, loan servicers, capital markets professionals, real estate agents, real estate brokers, title, valuation, throughout the single family transaction life cycle. There's a lot of people who touch a transaction, a lot of people who need to better understand what's happening in the housing market and the contributions, roles, and responsibilities of their counterparts on deals. So we have a focus of covering the news, information, data, and research that helps professionals across the single family residential housing landscape be more informed and better prepared to make great decisions.
So 8 years ago, was that your thought? Was that your mission coming into it? Or were you, because you're a Wall Street guy, which I love about your story, or were you a Wall Street guy who is running the numbers? You're like, oh, wow, this is a really solid business model, one that I could scale. And it just happened to be in housing, or did you have a soft spot in your heart for housing prior to the acquisition?
I definitely had a soft spot for housing. So I grew up around the industry. My father is a mortgage originator, so grew up around his origination business, him as a broker, him working for community banks. Like, I've seen, learned the industry, like, came in with enough knowledge to be dangerous in 2016. But if we come back to, like, the mission and vision of Housing Wire, there's a lot in our DNA today that is very similar to the founding mission in 2007. So when Housing Wire was initially formed, there was the vision was to bring together four core content verticals in origination, servicing, capital markets, and real estate. Think about that timeline, though. In 2008, 2012, a lot of that topic and conversation focused in on the default and REO side of the industry.
The regulatory changes that were coming down the pike.
Regulatory changes, yep. The whole, like, Dodd-Frank landscape. Mm-hmm. But what we've done, and we've held on to that DNA and also held on to our newsroom DNA of being a news-first organization, we've expanded a lot. And the expansion has gone deeper across the single-family residential world. We're doing more coverage and analysis on new home construction, and, like, especially now in an inventory crisis, about where new inventory is coming from. Beefed up our origination and real estate coverage organically through hiring, but also through acquisition. We've acquired Real Trends, we've acquired Reverse Mortgage Daily in the reverse vertical, and acquired Altos Research in the housing market data software and data licensing world. So,
well, was that, out of curiosity, sorry to cut you off, was that part of the pro forma back when HW Media was acquiring Housing Wire? Was a company like Altos Research or Real Trends, was that in the 3 or 5 year horizon?
Yeah, 100%. It was. I came out of, before acquiring Housing Wire, I was an M&A banker. I was at RBC Capital Markets in New York, and I was working with a group that did a lot of media M&A. So I worked on some really cool deals. Like, I one of the deals I like to talk about most is we helped advise the owners of PetFinder.com to sell that business and find a new home. And we ultimately sold the business to Nestle Purina, the largest manufacturer and seller of pet food.
Yeah.
And so, like, we basically connected the world's largest database of pet owners, adopted pet owners, with the largest manufacturer and seller of pet supplies and food. And so I love the creativity behind media and information deal making. And so when I raised money to do the deal, and you have to, like, you know, do a pro forma and, like, have a confidential information memorandum and, like, all the details of what you plan to do. And M&A was part of that. I believe the best bit, and we're seeing it here on stage at the gathering. We're listening to operators talk about how they're building and how they're buying. But I believe that there's some capabilities and competencies and product lines that are best built organically. But there's also times that M&A can get you there faster, either bringing in capabilities or clients or core team members that help you get to the ultimate goal on a better timeline, faster timeline, and ultimately serve users and clients even better.
So what does the future look like from a publication standpoint? Yeah. Like looking at the publication and the publication's mission, where do you see not taking the company, more of taking the audience? Where do you want to take the audience? How do you want the audience to leverage what your news team is putting out, which, by the way, and I said this to James in person, highlight of last night for me was meeting Flavia, because I'm a super fan of Housing Wire. Like, I read the publication every single day. Like, it's that, and it's NBA Newsweek, but NBA Newsweek, two out of their 10 articles are your articles. Yep. So I read them twice.
Yep.
Even the guy who does Mortgage Nuggets, like, mm-hmm. I read his stuff, because in order for me to be well informed, I have to go and find the information myself so that I can report on it and hopefully share it with our millions of annual downloads. But you being the guy at the top of the food chain, what do you want to see your audience looking to your information to do with?
I think our team is excellent, does a phenomenal job on a lot of things. There's always room to get better. So as an organization, we want to continue investing in our current team members to get out there, meet more industry executives, be faster and better sources of original information. We're sitting here recording, and I'm watching our managing editor right over your shoulder. Yeah. James Kleiman is doing an interview with a prominent broker owner. And so it's phenomenal to see the team out there building muscle, flexing muscle to become even more effective sources of information for our audience. We intend to continue hiring and building people in our newsroom, but we also intend to continue building, acquiring, and licensing data sources and building more research that helps loan originators and mortgage professionals be the center of influence and center of information for their community, for their referral partners, and for their clients. So I aspire and are working to build HousingWire as an information source and platform where loan originators and real estate professionals and executives can come and access all the information they need about the housing market. So news is an incredibly important part of that, but I also think news is best reported and best coupled with original research and original data. And original research and original data are only as powerful as the insights that the user can derive from that information. And I think there's a ton of data out there in the world, but it's only as good as being able to annotate it with great articles that explain what the data is, what the data is saying.
Tell the story
to the user.
Yeah, tell the story to where the end user can understand it. And then hopefully they can go take that information and repeat it to the communities that they serve.
And siphon through it and make sure we're reporting and sharing the information that actually matters with the right segments of our audience. And there's the biggest issue in a world with a lot of data is actually getting to the insights and getting to the data points that matter. There's 200, 300 different weekly and monthly reports on different indexes and home price information and pendings information, and applications data, and tons of sources for all of these things. And I think part of our job is kind of sifting through to the data that actually matters to the originator and to the real estate professional, and helping them just be efficient with their time, then go out and communicate and understand the market, understand the national market, understand the local market, and how to explain to the consumer the difference between national and local, because we all know consumers are watching national headlines, and those national headlines don't always apply in local markets.
The interesting about national headlines is they tend to screw it up when they're not industry professionals.
Yep.
And they tend to screw it up because sometimes they only have 45 minutes to do research, and they have 30 minutes to write it, and it's only given 90 seconds to report on.
Yep.
And it's so surface level and it's so high level. It's why for me, I quit tuning into any national media probably about 18 years ago. Once I felt like I was cemented as a professional, and I started reading the national media that was covering my industry, and it was so wrong. It was not the world that I lived in, and not what I was doing for a living. Then I started thinking, if they do that with my industry, they have to be doing it with all other industries. So I'm a huge industry publication person, because if I want to know what's going on in a certain sector, I don't care if it's defense weaponry or if it's housing, then I'm going to go find the industry publications and read those.
I was just invited to speak at the Great River MBA conference a few weeks ago.
Did you make it?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, I was invited too, and I couldn't do it. I had a schedule conflict. By the way, I'm jealous because I've heard it's a great event.
It was an awesome event. Okay. I loved it. Loved going to Memphis. The Peabody Hotel was gorgeous. But one of the topics...
Were you walking with your feet 10 feet off a Beale?
Of course I
You're
was.
You walking to Memphis?
In awesome. In my blue suede shoes, too. So one of the topics we talked about in that session was accuracy of information, accuracy of reporting. And we talked about national publications. And I think that... it's worth noting that there are some phenomenal journalists who work for some of the top national mainstream business publications. Let's talk about like the Wall Street Journals and the Bloombergs of the world. And those reporters and editors are worth following. But that doesn't mean that every reporter and editor that works for a mainstream publication is created equal. And in times of change, so let's talk about real estate. Like, so real estate and mortgage has, you know, had a tough couple years.
You don't have to tell me.
Content is performing well, though. So in times of change, like, national publications know, hey, the more we cover about real estate, the more we cover about mortgage, we're going to get more clicks, we're going to get more reads because the consumer is concerned about it, the consumer is interested. That means they often start shifting journalists from other beats and recruiting more people onto like the real estate beat who don't have the background of the journalists who do this year in, year out, cycle in, cycle out. And I think that's one of the advantages we have is being a publisher just focused on housing. We do this year in, year out, cycle in, cycle out. And I have a ton of respect for our counterparts at the mainstream business publications and love when we have the opportunity to work together and we can be a source to them and like actually be like our lead analyst Logan is on CNBC every week. They're smart. They use the guy who is like out there thinking about housing for his whole life. And
yeah, I would say the guy
I like
who
the,
also
I like
worked,
we have that collaborative approach.
Worked in mortgage for 25 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's what I love about data, and I think the audience is going to benefit from hearing this, and it's I almost steal from the Wayne Gretzky quote of you skate where the puck is going, not where the puck is. And the data that you all produce, it's like in order for us to effectively run our business, in order for us to effectively give advice to the consumer, we have to look at the data because the data is predicting what's going to happen in the future. I think I was telling you off camera, I just had a conversation with my executive team over at the mortgage company. And this was like more geared towards the CFO and his team. And it's like for so many years, they were reporting the news. They weren't creating the news, meaning our accounting team did a great job of telling us what happened last quarter, but I need them telling me what's going to happen two quarters from now by looking at the data, by looking at predictive analytics, by studying what publications like yours are reporting on, saying, okay, if the industry's trending this direction and X, Y, and Z is showing up in my predictive analytics, then I need to, as an accountant at this point, a CPA, they need to be creating the news, not reporting it. Whereas I think your readers and your listeners, because you have the podcast and your viewers, because Dalton's cranking out your YouTube channel now. Yeah. Shout out to Dalton Johnson. But you know, I think we too need to take a page out of my CFO's department. It's like we too need to be creating the news based on what we're studying from publications like Housing Wire.
Yeah, it's. You know, predicting the future is tough. And like it's there's a lot of housing economists and analysts and forecasters who, you know, look or spend their life in housing data and take stances on where they think interest rates are going, where they think volume will be next year, where they think listings will be next year. And ultimately, the last 2 years,
they were humbled.
Yes. And I don't say that in a way to discredit anybody because I still follow those reports and those forecasts. I think as a business leader, you have to have a view on where the market is going and when it's going to get there. But it also means you need to be nimble enough to change when the market has, like, the wind blows in a different direction. Yeah. And so I agree with you 100% that great finance and office of CFO teams need to be able to look at the best predictive data they have. So in origination, are they looking at credit pulls? Are they looking at locks and predicting what's going to happen in the next few weeks, the next few months, the next few quarters? And then are they like, you know, reading the Fannie and Freddie forecast and MBA forecast, the National Association of Realtors forecast, and triangulating where they think the market will perform? You got to do that because you have to prepare the business. You have to prepare the balance sheet. You have to prepare the sales force. You have to prepare the product and pricing strategy for the future, but be nimble enough to move quickly.
Yeah. And not just CFOs, right? I mean, the originator, the realtor on a smaller scale, they run their own business, right? They work for them, first name, last name, LLC, a division of insert whatever brand they represent. And I think they too need to be studying the data and reading the news, knowing what's going on so that they can make decisions on behalf of their business as well as their clients. So I know you're like, this is like your big event and you're like the man. So you're being pulled in 17.
It's about all the amazing speakers we have on stage. Like the executives that joined us here. It's like freaking phenomenal. I'm just like still kind of like shell shocked that Kevin Sears, the president of the National Association of Realtors, just joined us on stage.
Had the opportunity.
Yeah, Mauricio from the agency, but also got to interview the CEO of Rocket and the CEO of CoStar Homes.com yesterday, mm-hmm. and Frank Martel from Loan Depot, and the list goes on. We have a lot more great speakers on stage. Yeah.
No, I'll be cognizant of your time, but I have two more questions for you.
Let's do it.
And one's going to be a layup, but it's a question that we've asked for the past 3-4 years since we started the podcast of any guest, and it really plays into who we are as the content creators. But before I get into that question, looking out in the future, do you see HW Media and Housing Wire doing anything consumer-based? Like right now, you're pretty professional-based. Would you see you all doing anything a la whether it's a CoStar or whether it's a Zillow, LendingTree type?
Yeah, so I mean, HousingWire is a business professional focused like brand and information source, and we're gonna like stay true to that mission and vision. We are making we do have some like strategy a little bit on the consumer side, more like kind of the B2B2C approach. So I talked about RealTrends earlier. RealTrends is best known for its rankings and recognition programs for the top performing real estate agents, teams, and brokerages in the country.
Okay.
And we are starting to kind of reskin and reshift RealTrends to have more of a agent discovery capability. So consumers who are searching for the best listing agent or the best agent to represent them on the purchase side can leverage the RealTrends data set to see the agents who actually do volume.
Okay.
And I think if anybody in the audience or you kind of Google the top agents in your hometown or zip code, you're probably going to see the Google results and be like, I do not know that person. And then like, if I do that in Dallas, the top agent recommendation actually lives in Austin. It's a bad recommendation. And we're trying to make that a little more transparent, a little bit better. So the closest thing we're doing to consumer is trying to bring that RealTrends data to the internet so people can discover who the best agents, teams, and brokerages in the country are.
Fair enough. Awesome. And then here's the layup.
Let's do it. Okay.
Coming out of left field, though. No, something that I love about the content that we create here on the Loan Officer podcast, people call us TLOP. So you're like, oh, yeah, TLOP, right? I'm like, yeah, TLOP's the brand. Right, TLOP's the brand that brings us the Loan Officer podcast, but now TLOP's for us our YouTube channel. It's the newsletter that I write for MLOs, and it's the coaching company that we launched just 9 months ago. So TLOP's the brand. The podcast is still the Loan Officer podcast, but when we launched this podcast going on 5 years ago, we really wanted it to be teaching the ish they don't teach in school. So when I have someone with your background, your success, your experiences, I love to ask this question. What's one thing that you wish you learned earlier in life that it wasn't taught? Whether it wasn't, like for me, it wasn't maybe discussed at the dining room table.
Yeah.
Right? Or it wasn't taught when I was getting my advertising degree from University of Central Florida or back at Lyman High School. Like for you, looking back with all of your successes, and anyone with your successes, I'm only imagine comes with a couple failures. Yeah. What's one thing that you wish was taught earlier to you?
Honestly, probably not enough failures. So like start earlier, move faster. Don't be afraid of the failures. And, it's notable. I've had this experience personally, but also notable with a lot of the executives that we have here at the gathering. Like I had the chance to interview Andy Florence, like I mentioned, and the guy moves fast. He's not afraid to take risk, and he like puts himself out there. If something doesn't work, he backs off, moves on to the next thing. And there's not an entrepreneur out there. And you know, to be an entrepreneur, you have to have some like unreasonable level of risk and some unreasonable degree of optimism, like a disproportionate expectation that things are going to work out or you can make them work out. And I think that harnessing that like unreasonable optimism and being willing to take bigger risk earlier in my career. And I'm still early, right?
Yes.
I'm 39. Like, yes. I didn't wait like forever to get started, but like, I definitely spent a lot of years like kind of shuffling through big bank land, waiting until like I felt like the moment was right. But the moment's never right. It's like it's time to get started, and the time to get started was yesterday.
Yeah, and what's cool about what you got to experience in big bank land is you put yourself in a situation where the conversations that were being had, even when you were probably a junior or an assistant on someone else's desk, you're like, oh wow, people can really do that. Like you're. What's possible was expanded probably exponentially.
Yep.
And that's something that I hope for our audience. And I'd preach to them is like, put yourself in the room where it happens. And you'd be amazed that you two are just like those guys and girls that you maybe look up to because they're normal.
I mean, you mentioned like, I mean, loan originators as entrepreneurs, like first name, last name, LLC. Mm-hmm. And like they are LOs that follow Housing Wire and follow TLOP are having a higher than average acceptance of risk, and they're willing to be optimistic. They're willing to make the big bucks in the years when the production volume is there, and like carry the risk and carry the optimism when times are harder. And there's a lot. I mean, it has to be said how entrepreneurial the folks in mortgage and real estate are. It is a totally different industry than I think folks on the outside really understand.
Well, I totally appreciate that advice, and I was sitting there nodding. I'm like, yep. I get accused of being overly optimistic, and I get accused of taking really big risk. So it just reminds me that I'm probably sitting in the right seat, hanging out with the right people. Clayton, I so appreciate you making the time and taking the time. If people want to connect with you, is is LinkedIn your
yes,
better?
Sir.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he's Clayton Collins on LinkedIn. Obviously Housing Wire is a publication. You can Google it. You can go to housingwire.com. Make sure you subscribe. But unfortunately for you, unfortunately for me, that's all the time we have for you today. He's Clayton. I'm Dio. You have just recently tuned in to Loan Officer Podcast. That's all the time we have for you today, but we look forward to catching you on the next episode. Peace.